Welcome to the Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Hani Rambod, and I'm here with my lovely co-host for the day, Miss Nas.
Hi. Nice to be back.
Hi, wifey.
Hi.
It's good to be back. I just got off the plane last night from the UK. We had back-to-back Arnolds. And the reason why I brought on Miss Nas, Farinez is her name, but she goes by Miss Nas because it's a little bit difficult, right?
Yes, but I will say all the Persian people think my name is Sanaz, but it's not.
Why is it Sanaz?
I don't know. Maybe because Miss Nas, they just assume it's Sanaz.
Sanaz?
Yeah.
So. Wow. But yeah, so again, with Miss Nas, she goes by her IG page name. And I think that the whole premise of this podcast is to do a rundown about the crazy trials and tribulations. If you haven't checked out the video yet, we'll go ahead and put a link of the video from the behind the scenes of getting him his UK visa. But the first person I have to thank is Nick Irby, who has been my right-hand man here at eVision for 13 years, who helped with all the paperwork. And without all of that support from him, he would have never been able to make it to the US. And then he had to turn around and pick up the pieces for being able to get him to the UK through the UK network. Mm-hmm. And as I went through the video and watched a little bit of it, and I said, the video that I'm talking about is the video that's posted on the channel that says, well, how do you get his UK visa? It was literally down to the wire.
Yeah, super stressful. I saw your stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know how much Nick did in the background with all the paperwork. Hadi was stressed. You guys didn't know if literally till the last minute if you guys were going or not. So it's very stressful.
Yeah. And then we went to Houston because that's where the office is. They don't have one here in Dallas. So we had to go there and we were waiting daily, you know, living out of a suitcase and being able to actually get the visa. It wasn't normally we would have our visa ahead of time. Yeah. Bunch of stuff happened. Didn't happen. We would have been there Monday. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And then so we could set up for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the UK because it's so fresh, but then we'll just kind of touch on the Arnold as well for the US, the Ohio Arnold as well. But I think that the hardest thing was the fact that we already deal with the stress of this visa situation for the US, but then we had it again for the UK.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought we weren't going to show up. And when we finally did get it on the last minute of the last day, right before the flight, because again, we kept canceling the flight because we would rebook it every night. We were rebooking it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it was like, okay, this is the last time because it gets us there literally just 24 hours before. This is the last flight. If we don't get the visa by then, we can't go.
Right.
Because it'll end up, we would end up showing up on show day.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the day, a couple hours before. And then by then, it's just, you can't, you know, just throw on some color and just jump on stage. We'd need to have at least 24 hours, the very least. But ideally, I have my athletes there 4 to 5 days early, just like at the Olympia.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just longer flights. You know, you tend to hold water. The stress of not having a visa, your cortisol levels are high, so you hold water. So, I mean, what you guys accomplished in 24 hours is a huge feat, and I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, all the stress that goes into it.
Hottie's stressed, I'm stressed, you're stressed.
We're all stressed.
And again,
Cameron's stressed.
And let me tell you a little bit about the support system. And this is something that I think a lot of people, there was like 400 or 500 comments in the video that we posted 3 or 4 days ago that showed a bit of the buildup to get the visa. And we got it. And shout out to Dylan, who drove it down to Dallas from Houston when it showed up. And when it got in my hand, we literally had, you know, 4 hours to get on the plane.
Yep.
And so it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think that with all that stress, where you come in and you help so much and call it for the fact that you love the sport. Mm-hmm. You still love the sport because you used to compete in figure back when we first met. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's just questions for you. I mean, every morning you're getting up, you're helping cook and everything else because Hadi's a very particular person where he needs extra help, mm-hmm. right? He can't drive here in the United States. And people, again, why isn't he learning English? He's deaf. It's very difficult when you're deaf to be able to not. And it is gotten so bad. His deafness has gotten worse and worse where it was just a hearing impediment impairment. Yeah. And now it's gotten so bad that I, like, he even has his hearing aids in and I'm talking behind him, calling him, and he can't hear me.
Oh yeah. Remember when we were all in the car and Cam was like, "Will Hottie hear me if I shout?" And he literally shouted in the car and he wasn't facing Hottie, wasn't facing Cam, and he didn't turn around. Like, it was loud and he just can't hear.
Yeah. And it's gotten progressively worse.
Yeah.
And it's degenerative. So, and it's also genetic because some of his family members have this issue.
Yes.
But with all of those things, there's a lot of things that we've taken on as a family. And when I say family, I'm not talking about just me, yourself. You know, obviously, Cameron loves to hang out with him, but also for the fact that with the whole Evgen family trying to take care of him.
Yeah, everybody.
Because of the situation, because of, you know, the visa issues, but also because of the fact there's so much things that he can't really do. And I feel that I want to thank you here personally. And you've seen me post about your help and your support, but we couldn't do this without you.
Thank you.
I want to say thank you again, because you get up in the morning, you're cooking him his fish, you're cooking him his chicken, you're cooking him his turkey, you're cooking him his beef, having his meals ready, having his carbs ready, having it cooked a certain way because that's what he's used to.
Yeah.
He's very particular about having everything done. All of those things. So I really want to say thank you again, because it means so much to me because of how much you love the sport and you want to see anybody. And the cool thing about it is it wouldn't matter if it was Derek or if it was Sebum or any of our team members
literally
that
anybody.
I coach with. You would do it for anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely love the sport, but I definitely love you, you know, and I want to see all your athletes do well and I want to see you be successful. So whatever it takes, we're team.
And I really, really appreciate it. And I know Hottie has mentioned it several times and he's posted about it, but I just want everyone to know, like, this is the kind of stuff that next level that we go through.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't matter who it is. When Sebum was staying with us, or when, you know, anybody comes over and stays with us, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that because of your background in the sport, I mean, you like watching shows more than I do.
Oh yeah. I mean, I watched the live stream. I was bummed I couldn't be at the Arnold, Ohio, and even in the UK. And I watched the live stream, and I'm a huge fan of the sport and I love everything about it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know that if you, and tell me if I'm wrong, but if you wouldn't have competed in the past, you probably wouldn't be so passionate about it, right?
You know, I don't know, because that's not the case, but yeah, probably, because you don't understand it unless you do it, right? So you don't understand the level of commitment it takes, the level of discipline it takes, the level of hard work. I mean, these guys work so hard, you know? So yeah, I guess if you don't do it, you don't have an appreciation for it.
Yeah, and it's the attention to those details, like what's the seasoning that's going in the food, what, you know.
Hottie loves fresh food. Like, he won't have leftovers, so he needs, like, a certain way, and he likes certain spices that we use in Persian cooking that American people don't use, you know, so he's very particular when it comes to things like that. So,
right.
And I mean, I don't even know how you guys did it. I prepped a bunch of food when you went to Houston, but living out of the hotel for a day or two, I don't know where you guys got meals, you know.
You gotta watch the video.
Yeah, I do. I haven't seen it.
That night we went to the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes before it closed, we got ground turkey, we got beef, we I think we grabbed a couple of bags of frozen fish. There was a bunch of different things that we were able to grab, and some things we couldn't, and we just got stuff to tie us over. We got rice, potato, things for the next couple of days, because we didn't know how long we were going to need to be there. And same thing, we had to push the flights back when we were there because we just stayed. And luckily the hotel had room, so we were able to extend our stay there. And then we finally said, you know what, we need to get back and then have somebody bring the, because we still don't have our stuff to travel from Houston to London because our ticket was from Dallas.
Yeah.
And if anybody doesn't know, it's 4 to 5 hour drive. It was like 4.5, 5 hour drive from the consulate's office in Houston for the UK to Dallas. And so we just said, you know what, we're going to fly back. We're going to have one of our guys, Dylan, stay back. And, you know, again, shout out to him. And then if that thing shows up, the minute it shows up, he's going to go pick it up and drive it straight there. And I said, drive carefully. Don't get in any accidents. don't leave it in the car. And when you go to use the restroom and then it gets stolen.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, I'm like thinking
don't
of
drink
every
water around it. Yeah, spill water on it. Yeah.
Whatever it is, you got to like go through every single detail, because that's how I think. It's like you're trying to, it's chess moves, right? Yeah. How many chess moves ahead? What could go wrong? You know, trying to think of every single thing we can do to make sure we minimize the likelihood of anything interfering with the trip.
Yeah.
You know, are the flights set up? And then we get to, London. We still have a 3-hour drive to get to Birmingham where the event is, just depending on traffic. No traffic, 2 hours. With traffic, 3 hours plus. All of those things. Then once you get there, we had, athlete check-in where, you know, they get their car, their numbers, they get to turn in their music, do all the paperwork. Tyler, Big Steve, Sandy, they were all there. And then right after that, it's a meet and greet, you know, just like the Olympia, just like the Arnold in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of hours of there standing in line, standing there with the line, taking photos. And then just shout out to Hadi on, I didn't know what was going on because I saw manager Matt, who's really good friends with Jay Cutler and Phil and everybody else. And I saw him and we were talking. And then, so as we were talking, I had some people that wanted to come take some photos. And so I got jammed up for a few minutes, but in that whole area. And then I look over and I see Hadi with Jonathan De La Rosa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why is Jonathan taking photos with Hadi?
At his booth.
At Hadi's booth.
Yeah.
I thought maybe, so I look over there, I go, hey, just wanted to go over there and take a photo. Yeah. You know, they're cool because they compete against each other.
Yeah.
And then I look over there 5 minutes later and he's still over there. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes later, he's still over there. So then I go over there and I go, hey, is everything okay? And he goes, yeah, you know, and tells me, Hadi tells me in Farsi. He goes, yeah, he was at his booth and there wasn't really many people that want to take photos. So I just invited him and just did Jonathan a solid and said, hey, come over and take photos with me and the people that want to take photos. And then they can get to know you too.
Yeah, I read the story after the fact. I mean, obviously I wasn't there, but I mean, John was thanking Hadi and saying, you know, he saw that I was sitting there alone. Not too many people know me in the UK. And he invited me to his booth so I can greet his, you know, fans with him. So that was a really touching story. And a lot of people don't know Hadi because he doesn't speak, you know, that much. But he's just such a down-to-earth, warm guy. And he just shows his character, you know, like just doing that. And it, I mean, culturally in our culture, we're very warm people. So that's
hospitality.
Just, hospitality number one. So, I mean, that was a really cool story. I loved reading it.
Because, like I said, I'm like, what's going on over there, you know? Yeah. And then when he turned, and then Jonathan told me, he's like, hey, I was by myself at the booth. There was nobody there. And then so he just brought me over. That's so cool. And I said,
and that's
cool.
The beauty of, like, bodybuilding, too, is the camaraderie. Yes. You guys look out for each other. You know, it is an individual sport. But, I mean, these guys do have a level of respect for each other, you know? So, it's cool.
Yeah, and Jonathan definitely looked his best this week, last 2 weeks, and looked amazing. So again, shout out to him. He looked great. And I think that the best improvements I've ever seen him make in the last, since 2011, when I think he turned pro.
Yeah, he looked great.
Yeah, and so then from there, again, a couple hours on our feet there, then it's going to get color. Yeah. And we're like less than 18 hours away from getting on stage.
Yeah.
And the hardest part, for those that are listening to this, that don't know, the harsh part is normally we take 3 or 4 days minimum to acclimate to getting off of a long flight. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at that, and we're supposed to be there Monday, and now we're getting there Thursday, and the show is Friday, what's happening is you have to deal with a plan to carb up and dry out. Then you got to do color. Then you got to do all of the meet and greets and all that, all of those things, all on your feet. So you don't have any rest period.
Right.
And when you're at altitude, you tend to hold water the longer you're at altitude. Mm-hmm. Then you got to decide, am I going to carb up and take the risk while we're in mid-flight? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to wait till you land and then carb up? And at that point, just to let the cat out of the bag, I said, hey, we're going to have to do this while we're on the plane and then worry about water retention and through water manipulation as we land and as we go.
Right.
And so again, being in a car for 3 hours, trying to figure out how many times you're going to pee, how much water you're going to need to have. So built in some ratios, built all of that into the plan and said, normally I can always go back to something I've done with Jay or Phil or any of these other people who I've dealt with these situations right. and that experience that may have worked or didn't work. And then I'll just try to use that as a template. Well, this time I've never had a situation yeah. where I had to get yeah. somebody ready 24 hours
yeah.
off of an 18 hour journey.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is going to like, this is a first.
Yeah.
And it did, was I stressed out? Absolutely. People were like, hey, are you stressed out? Are you stressed out? Of course I'm stressed out. But again, I was just trying to be as calm as possible,
right.
but internally, you know, the of wheels course. Are turning, right?
Of course.
So again, we were able to manipulate his carb up and everything else. And then I said, okay, well, let's see. And the lighting was not good in the room. Mm. And when you tried to get natural lighting, it was raining mm. and it was pouring.
Yeah.
It was a lot of clouds and a lot of, and it's cold. And it's just the weather is very, very, very like rainy in the UK anyways. And it was that entire weekend. And so what happened was I was like, okay, let me just try to use some natural light. Pull the curtains over, see what we can look at. Then the color was different too.
Yeah.
Pro tended the color, but again, the way that they mix up the color and it definitely was different. So if you see the videos and the pictures, that's why it's completely different than whatever they did in the States.
Well, maybe like the humidity also because it's so rainy there.
Yeah, but that's it. That for sure.
Yeah.
But there's something inherently different about the formula.
Got
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because the tone of the color wasn't that orangey.
Yes.
It was more of that muddyish yes, kind of
more brownish.
Brownish.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that also was really hard to see with the lighting
yes,
in the room.
For sure.
Because as he got painted, you're like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then finally you're just gonna say, hey, look, this is where I think we're close enough. Now we have to look and see what the person looks like on stage
mm-hmm.
and then make the adjustments. And I felt like he was a bit flat in the first night.
Yes, I agree.
And then I turned around and I said, no, we're gonna have to fill you up. We gotta get you more 3D.
Yeah.
And then and again, that's happened with Phil before and a lot of my other athletes where we make the assessment of the first night's prejudging and then the second night. So you have another 24 hours, you have to stay in shape and try to get better.
Yep.
And then by the second night, I felt like we got more 3D. We got his chest fuller, his shoulders were fuller, his back, his legs,
yes.
because I felt like he was a little too drawn down the first night. And again, it gave us another day to carb up and because we didn't have the complete time
yeah.
because I wasn't aggressive while he was on the plane.
Right.
So I was trying to balance out like how aggressive am I going to be on the plane,
mm-hmm.
even though that's supposed to be during his carb session.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those things, that's why he ended up looking like he did the first night. And then by the second night, we were able to kind of really carb him up and get him dialed in. But I think that all in all, it wasn't as good, obviously, as Ohio. I think we had plenty of time in Ohio. And then when we were, his body was tracking so well with yes. how his carb up was going to the drying out period and getting that combination. I usually call that kind of like the apex,
mm-hmm.
where we can hit the carbs and the water manipulation so that we can get the amount of dryness and fullness together. And a lot of people are like, well, what were you shooting for? And I was really shooting for a really tight midsection, a really great capital X, not a small X, a capital X frame.
Yeah, I mean, he had that. When he came out in the Ohio, I was watching through the live stream. I mean, the announcers, everybody, they were like, we can't believe his waist is so mm-hmm. down, you know, like, and the way that he controls his abs and everything. I mean, true X frame.
Yeah.
Quads were pushing. I mean, he looked phenomenal at the Ohio.
Yeah, he looked really, really yeah. good. I was happy with that. And I feel like he put in so much work, guys. Like, you don't understand. Like, whether it's ab work, whether it's cardio twice a day when he needed it. It wasn't the whole time, but every little tweak, every, you know, from the posing to everything else to try to really accentuate all of the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like I said, it went off really, really well. And I feel that what a lot of people don't realize is that Samson looked really good too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he looked good at both yeah. shows. He came with a fuller look the mm-hmm. first weekend. And then the second weekend, I think he was drier
mm-hmm.
and definitely made improvements on the second show. I think it was like 9-6 was on the scorecard for the second show. And then it was 5-10 and the lower number is the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Hottie had 5 and then Samson had 10. So again, the lower number is the first place, 5 first place votes for Hottie. And then it was 6-9. So he had the gap came in a little bit on the second show. But and then shout out to everybody else too. I want to make sure to give as much credit to everybody as possible. Brian Powers did a great job with putting the production together for both shows, especially because this was the first time I believe he did the UK show. And that's super tough trying to go out there and try to set up, that show. And then the big thing was that the first Arnold, when I say first one Arnold, I'm talking about the UK, the Ohio Arnold. Arnold gets up there and says 500K.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool.
I mean, was there a lot of chatter online too, right? Because I didn't get a chance to really spend a lot of time online because I was so jammed up. But
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's wonderful for anyone that's competing in the show, obviously, but it's just more at stake. And I mean, it's amazing for the athletes. I think everyone's happy. I think Phil wants to come back now. Jay is pushing Phil to come back.
I know. They kept saying it. I mean, they did a training session with Arnold. And, you know, Arnold's like 500,000.
Yeah, it's and enticing.
Yeah, 500,000. But yeah, so I think that it really, the noise got loud with that. Mm-hmm. And again, Arnold had mentioned that his, you know, reasoning for it was because he had not wanted to increase it over the Olympia. But now that I think he's gotten a bit older, and I think that he's just like, hey, look, my agreement was with Joe and Ben Weider. They're no longer here. God rest their soul. But it was like, okay, I want to really kind of step things up. So yeah. Next year, guys, the Arnold, Ohio first place is 500K. Okay. So again, they just had raised it, and now it's going to $500,000, which is some serious money now.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it's invite only. It's not qualification, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So you have to be invited.
Yeah, you have to be invited. So not everybody can, you know, go. But I'm sure that what they're going to do is they do like what they do now. Mm-hmm. They look at the rankings, who's coming in from the Olympia.
Right.
So they're going to look at that. And then, or who may be new that could really kind of be a force.
Yeah.
And they're going to invite those peoples, those athletes in.
Yep.
So we'll see. I know that, again, that's a huge bit of news there. Man, I'm just like trying to remember all the things that there were so many different things. Another question that somebody had sent in and had said, what was the difference you saw between Hadi at the Arnold, Ohio and Arnold, UK? Again, it was about fullness and dryness.
Yep.
We really peaked it at the Arnold, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it really shined. And other thing, I think, what did you see? Because I mean, you saw everything online.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything we just talked about, I agree with. You had time on your side. It wasn't a long flight. It was only like 2 or 3 hours, right, from mm-hmm. Texas to Ohio. You got there early in the week. You had plenty of time just to chill and let the food do what it does and, you know, let his water and all of that stuff go right. The UK, I mean, you were on a time crunch. It was more stressful. It was a longer flight. So obviously it's going to be a little bit harder to dial it in.
Yeah, it was a lot harder because we also had just taken flights back and forth from Houston.
Yeah.
And we were living out of the suitcase.
Yeah.
And then we went to Alpha, the Alpha Land Gym. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Guzman and them. We trained out there and we were able to get a session in there when we had to. But yeah, so again, way, way more in terms of variables that we didn't have to deal with for the Arnold in the Ohio. And somebody had asked, what did Hadi eat after? What was his cheat meal right after? And it was burgers, guys. We went to some slider place in downtown Ohio after the Arnold, Ohio. And he went nuts on some sliders.
He deserved it.
He did. And again, some people said, hey, did he stick to his diet? No, he didn't. I told him, eat up because you're going to get your metabolisms to rip. And then, so we did that. He had a couple of meals that way. He had the burgers, had a little bit of fries, not too many. He had some chicken tenders. He had those sliders, loved it, thought it was amazing. And then I can't remember the name of the place we went to, but it was right across from Ohio State. And then what we did was we gave him one or two more meals and then it was right back on the grind, come back to Dallas, training, getting all the food right back to where it was at, mm-hmm. and then being able to go from there. So that was what he had post Arnold of Ohio. Next question, how did you handle getting the only 24-hour? Yep, we talked about that. Let's see. Why did we decide the Arnold? That's a good one. So the reason why we decided the Arnold was because, number one, the payday had been raised. Mm-hmm. And with him placing second to Derek, it was really about trying to make up as much as he could of that. Because not only would he think that it's a lot, anybody around the world, it's like, you know, there's a lot of money on you know,
absolutely.
At stake. $400,000 $300,000, I'm sorry, for first place at the Arnold, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Then I believe is $125,000 for the Arnold, UK.
Yeah, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so not only did he win both of those, but then he got another $10,000 for most muscular award, the Franco Colombo most muscular award. So that was, so it came out to $310,000 there. Mm-hmm. And then also the UK was $125,000. And some people were asking me, does Hadi have to pay taxes on that? Yes, he does. So these different shows take a percentage out before they pay you.
Right.
So they don't send it to you and then you have to go pay. They literally take it out before.
Right.
So if you're an international athlete, mm-hmm. Yes, it sucks, mm-hmm. but you know, death and taxes.
That's it. Jinx.
That's a jinx. Death and taxes. That's what happens when you've been together for a long time. But that's what it is. So when you're sitting down and you're looking at the whole thing, you know, and then by the time he takes that home, that's a big thing.
Yeah, especially in Iran, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money when you do the exchange rate. Yeah. You know, their exchange rate is like 40 or 50,000 to one.
Yeah.
You know, it's so impactful for him.
Absolutely.
Another question was, how much of the money that he makes do you make in terms of a fee? Mm-hmm. So just for clarity's sake, Derek and Hadi do not pay me for their coaching services. There's no percentages. It's part of our contract with Evagen.
Yep.
So he makes all of the money, where in the past I would get a percentage or I would get a fee plus probably a bonus. Mm-hmm. And all of those things with other people that are outside, mm-hmm. Within my coaching network of Evagen. Mm-hmm. But so for clarity's sake, because a lot of people are like, what percentage did you take, coach? 30%, 40%, 10%? No, not 1%. And also, obviously, it costs us money to, you know, to host them and to do a lot of those things. Yeah. But those are all part of the agreement that goes along with that.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the perks.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to coaching, the next question was, am I taking on new clients? So guys, I've been teasing this for a long time. All I keep telling people is, yes, I am going to be taking on some new clients. It's going to be a limited number. I have the space on, or the ability for you guys to go at HaniRambod.com and you can sign up for the waiting list. Mm-hmm. There's a waiting list in there. You can type in all of the information, HaniRambod.com, go check it out if you're interested. And you can just say what you're interested in, what kind of services you're interested in. And then I'm going to be getting back to people as soon as things settle down here. Mm-hmm. And then with the different types of services. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to do preps like I do for every, you know, for my handful of pros for everybody. But there are going to be some things that are going to be available coming up. But the best thing to do is go sign up, get your information in there. And then that way, when I do give out the information of what services are going to be available and if it's something for you, you'll be contacted. So we'll be sending out emails. So, and if you have already been on there and you want to just refresh and go on there again, that's fine. But just to be sure that you're on that waiting list, just go to my webpage, my personal webpage, HaniRambod.com, and then you can click on that to get on the waiting list. What's the next update for your FST7 app? So I just did one. David Butler was on there where we did a little teaser on the FST7 app. So for those of you that don't know, there's new content constantly being put on there. So if you're an old member and you hadn't seen some stuff for a while, for last several months, I have been putting in regular new content on there. So the FST7 app has been growing, the community is growing, and we're doing more and more content on there, especially now that I have the gym here where I can go out there and shoot some more content. So again, the FST7 app, you can go to HaniRambod.com and click on that to be able to download it. You can also find it on the Apple Store, but if you go to the HaniRambod one, then we actually try to give you discounts on there. So because Apple takes a large fee, but for those of you that are interested in that, then there's going to be a coupon below. So you can click on that and you can use the coupon below to be able to get a deal on the FST7 app. But it's been great. I see a lot of people tag me on these FST7 workouts from my app, and we've been getting a lot of really good feedback on all the new programs that we've been posting up there. We had a progressive overload one. We had now we have big wheels on there that are focusing on legs. So there's been a lot of really cool, there's a lot of really good feedback on those. And we're going to continue to keep pushing out new content on the FST7 app. So you can go check that out and click on the link below for that one. So The other thing I was going to ask you, okay, and again, thank you for helping me. I mean, I know you're not speaking as much and I'm sitting here rambling on because I'm horrible at it. But with you on this whole thing, right now, where do you feel is, you know, like, where's your mindset with training? When you watch these, do you get motivated off of this?
Oh, yeah. After every show, I'm like, I want to make a comeback when I'm 50, in a few years. No, but I mean, yeah, it's motivating. I love seeing your athletes obviously flourish. I love the sport and I love everything about it. Like, and I'm glad it's still a part of our lives and we're able to do what we enjoy, you know, still. So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, and I know Cameron gets all geeked out too.
He does, and he poses at night. He like checks himself out. He does side tricep. He likes it too.
Yeah, and just to share some stories with you guys, because it sounds like you guys like these stories, is that so we had Tyler here. We had, at Freddy's to do a workshop, and it was Edela and JM, his wife, Debbie. I mean, everybody was here. And this was like, right with the day that Hottie got here.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Cameron was there and he was giving his critiques to the judges, to Sandy and everybody else, who he thinks should do better and how they can go. And I remember JM said, "Hey, honey, I think he should do some backstage interviews."
Yeah.
And doing some backstage interviewing. So if you guys want to see Cameron do some critiques, maybe we'll bring Cameron on here and he can critique some athletes.
Oh, yeah. Brutal, but
he's very honest. He's super honest and it's just brutally honest.
But you know what? He just being around you and myself and like hearing us talk about it, he uses the terms correctly. He knows what he's looking at. You know, he poses really well. I mean, he's had Hottie show him, what to do. Proposes, and you.
Yeah,
but it's funny the level of absorption of the stuff just by being around, all these phenomenal athletes that come to our house and then you and me talking about it, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's awesome because you don't realize first of all, when you're right around that age, it's a very cool age because they haven't gotten to the point where they're a teenager yet and they want to go do their own thing.
Yeah.
But they're very in tuned.
Yeah.
And so with the shows and following it, and he's been to every single Olympia. And it's one of those that as a 10-year-old boy who's really into it, and then he'll go and look at some YouTube videos of whoever, and he'll go and then he'll say, "Oh, that's BS, Dad."
Yeah.
And he'll say, that wasn't true. Did you hear about this or that? And then it's just funny because he's so in tuned.
He is.
But I asked, I think it was JM asked him or something. He says, "What would you ask?"
Yeah.
Backstage.
He had some good questions.
Yeah. What would you ask backstage? And he said, "Well, I would ask him, because where did this person that I'm interviewing, where did he place?" And he's like, "Okay, second." And he said, "Well, I would ask him," and said, "So what do you think you need to do to be able to take first place and qualify for the Mr. Olympia in your next show?"
Yeah, I mean, that's the way he talks. So,
And it's just crazy because you've got this little 10-year-old man and he's talking that way. But and then he'll give advice. He'll sit there and say, "Hey, I think this guy needs to work a little more on his back, or this guy needs to get a little tighter on his glutes or something."
I wonder where he gets that from.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the other questions, where do you see Derek and what is he up to right now? Great question. Derek is now, obviously he just had the baby.
Yes.
Right.
He's a daddy. New daddy.
Yes. A new daddy. Him and Jelson. I think they're going to make amazing parents. And Jelson's so maternal and so connected. Mm-hmm. And so what you do for Hottie is what Jelson does for Derek.
Oh, yeah. 24/7. For sure.
Taking care of him. Yeah. And I think that it was very motivating for him. I think he's been traveling a lot, being an ambassador as Mr. Olympia. Mm-hmm. And I think he was in Korea with his new brand, doing stuff for New Tech, his new sponsor that he's working with over there. And so congrats on that. And then he also just signed an agreement with TLF.
Yeah, I saw
which
that.
Is really cool because that's Chris Ferguson's company. Mm-hmm. And Chris is, Chris is an ex-owner of BSN. And they're out of Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. Mm-hmm. So they're not far from him. And so, him being in Tampa. So again, I'm leveling up with that. And then also being able to shake hands. He did a great job at the Evogen booth, shaking hands, kissing babies, literally, for the 3 days.
Yeah.
And then, and I think that I said, how are you feeling? He goes, bro, I am so motivated, because he just saw the best version of Hottie.
Right.
And now everyone who's asking me, they're like, hey, you know, could that be Derek? I said, yeah, that could be Derek. But that was the old Derek.
Yeah.
Now Derek's been working on the new Derek.
Totally.
Because now it's an upgrade time, because Derek's younger than Hottie. Mm-hmm. So now you got to think, he's thinking to himself, I'm not going to stay stagnant. That's going to drive him.
Yep.
So when you see these rivalries like Jay versus Ronnie or Phil versus Kai, and you see these rivalries go back and forth, they make each other better.
Yep.
And so again, Jay and Ronnie, let's say just even Phil and versus and Jay.
Yeah.
Right. I coached both of them. They made each other better.
Yep.
They pushed each other, mm-hmm. right? And I feel that now you're going to see a different version of Derek.
Yeah, for sure.
And
he's going to be a good Olympia.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel that with all of the, and it's gotten, this Arnold had a lot of hype in it, because not only was the Arnold like with the big payday, and then you had an ex-Mr. Olympia with Hottie doing it, but Samson now, you know, trying to go and win it twice, yes. back to back. And then you had everybody else in there that was phenomenal. What you had was, because of the extra prize money, that's what drew more people to it. And now next year, it's going to be even crazier, because then you're going to have even more people come into it.
Yep.
I mean, who knows? I don't know, you know, who else is going to jump into it next year, but you got Nick Walker, you have all these other people that are just like chomping at the bit
right.
to get back on stage and go after all of this money that's out there right now.
Right.
So it's not just always about the titles. Now it's about, yeah, I want to win the title, but I also, yeah, I can get a very large payday.
Yeah.
And so Derek, right now, after seeing what Hottie looked like, what Samson looked like, and all these guys, and then again, we have a bunch of other people that are getting ready to compete in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. He is so hungry. Like, yeah. I was talking to him this morning, and he's like, bro, I'm just so ready. I go, I know you are.
Yeah.
And we've been in constant contact. He did get a little bit sick after the Arnold, because he caught something on the way back from Korea. Mm. And again, going into that Southeast Asian area, there's the different forms of the flu.
Yeah.
And so your body's not as immune to those areas.
Yeah.
And then, so I think he caught it from either, you know, with all the fans, or then the long 15, 16, 18 hour flight that he right. had from South Korea.
Just being in the airport, probably. You know,
that's
where you pick up stuff.
But he had a big meet and greet, him, Regan, and all those guys that were there. They had a huge meet and greet.
Yeah.
So there was a meet and greet, and then I think people came over and took photos with them, and you had, if you're sick, guys, please, please, please don't come to these things. You know, you don't want to spread it to the athletes. It's not fair.
Yeah.
So if you have a cough, if you have a sore throat, you have a temperature, don't come to them, you know, because I know you're going to be bummed out, but if you come and take a photo with these guys, their bodies are very susceptible, because they're traveling, or even if they're competing and you're at the meet and greet, get the picture the next time. I'll be honest with you, you know, mm-hmm. because it's really not fair to the athletes, because their immune systems are already low.
Right.
They're dehydrating, they're doing this. And then if they're traveling, even though they're not doing a show, their body is still pretty beat up. So I think that the best thing to do is to really just kind of make sure that you think about them as well.
Yeah.
But he was out there, he ended up getting sick, and then wasn't feeling that great at the booth, but he still jammed through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wasn't sick at the Arnold, but I think between that and then being run down,
mm-hmm.
that's when he ended up kind of not feeling well right after. And then we've been just in constant communication, and just can't wait to get together. So the next steps is him either coming out here and getting some good workouts in, or actually me coming out there. It just really depends on what the schedule is going to look like, because he has a lot of personal appearances as well.
Yeah,
that's coming up. So again, being Mr. Olympia is tough, because it's actually the toughest thing, especially for a guy like Derek, who's in high demand to be able to do so many different appearances. He's going to FIBO.
Yeah.
So you guys can see him out there. I know I've got a couple of requests to go to FIBO. I don't want you to kill me, because I haven't spoken to you about it yet. Why are you giving me that look?
I'm used to it. I usually find out the day before that you're
going. No, no. You knew I was going to the UK.
Well, Derek is also a new dad, so he's probably not sleeping a lot. So we all know how it is to be a newborn parent.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's super busy, but he's hungry.
Yeah. Well, and also because of the fact that at some of these events we're going to be together, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the other thing that makes things harder when you become Mr. Olympia, guys. is that you're an ambassador and all of these things. And I know that Hadi had so many requests, but he couldn't go because of the passport.
Yeah.
So he was jammed up.
Yeah.
But with Derek, obviously with American passport, you can pretty much go everywhere. Yep. Right. So the, I'm trying to think where he can't go. I think you're not supposed to go to Russia.
Cuba.
You can't go to Cuba. You're not supposed to go to North Korea. And definitely Iran. You're not supposed to go there. I mean, so it's just kind of the reverse of everything else on that side. But yeah, so he's, you know, he's super hungry. He's got a lot to prove. But like I said, he is approximately 6 years younger than Hadi. Mm-hmm. And he has just had literally only two shows in the open class. And so now he's one who wants to really bring out the best version of him.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm just like, I'm stoked. And everybody was like, when I say, well, who do you want to win or what? Dude, it's like having two sons, right? And you want them to just be at their best and let them battle it out. Exactly. That's the goal.
Exactly.
That's the goal, guys. Yep. It's literally let the judges sort it out.
Yep.
But try to have, the goal is to have your two at that final night by themselves up there.
Yeah.
And then let the judges sort out the rest.
Absolutely. That's all you can do being a coach. You know, you favor one over the other. You just want both of them to be at their ultimate best and you do whatever it takes for their physique. And then the rest is up to the judges. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So for those of you that keep asking that's that. But again, I think that, you know, besides that, I did get a couple of questions regarding classic physique. What I thought of Wesley beating Ramon. I thought Wesley looked really, really good. I thought Ramon, I heard that he had a very short prep. So it was really, I think, just, I don't know if, why. Mm-hmm. Maybe he jumped in the last minute, Ramon, if that's the case. But it sounds to me like I've heard anything from 9 weeks to 6 weeks. The numbers keep changing. But at some point, love to get Ramon on the podcast. You know, we definitely would need a translator for that. But I, you know, let me know, guys, who you want to see on the podcast too, because I am getting some requests in, but I want to be able to figure out which ones to prioritize, who you guys would like to see up here, and what other subjects you guys want. And just remember, make sure you put make sure you subscribe and then comment, because that helps the algorithm too. Whether it's fire emojis, whether it's questions, whether it's something particular about the segment, please let me know, because I'm listening. I'm going on there. I'm making sure that I'm trying to give you guys as much feedback as possible. But it's something that I want to be able to give you guys what you want more of.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when you were at the Arnold UK, you actually got to train with Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger. How was that? I was a little PB and jelly. I've always wanted to meet him. I mean, when you're a bodybuilding fan, you obviously look up to Arnold and all his achievements. So how was that?
Look, everybody grows up admiring somebody. Mm-hmm. I grew up reading the Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. And he obviously is an idol to many of us.
Yep.
And I didn't realize it until this last Arnold, the one in Ohio. I was able to go in there and translate for Hadi and being on that stage.
Yeah.
And
helping. Where he picked you up like a rag doll.
He spun me around like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And Habib, thanks to Habib, he does help so much with the behind the scenes, the cooking, the transportation when he's there.
Yeah.
And he was trying to help with the translation, but he became so emotional, right? Yeah. So that everybody was out there just
and
bashing
a little
him.
Starstruck, I think.
And super starstruck.
I mean, Arnold is standing there. Right. I'd be starstruck too.
Right. You got Arnold Schwarzenegger, the action star, the bodybuilding icon, the legend, and he's standing right next to him. So he kind of froze up.
Yeah.
And then luckily Hadi just, you know, it was like brought me, you know, he's likes to bring
you
me up.
You saved
on stage.
The day for sure.
Yeah. And then I came in, I tried to help out with the translation. But being there and seeing that, I was a bit starstruck too, because I don't usually go on stage. But the last time, you know, two times I was up there with him, the Olympia in 2022, and then here, I was there like, okay. And he was, again, Habib was looking at me, he said, come on too. He was like, because I think he was like getting
you
a little.
You need
bit,
help, SOS.
Yeah, because he was like choked up.
Yeah.
And so I helped out with that. And I think that I just thought later, I go, you know, Arnold's such a legend. He's such an icon. Yeah. And then when they asked me to do the workout with him and Phil Heath and the Panada Gym, that was on the floor of the expo early before it opened.
Yeah.
They were like, would you be interested? I was like, absolutely. And, you know, there's two seven-time Mr. Olympias there, right? Yeah. I got Phil Heath, who's a great friend of mine, who's also seven-time Olympia winner, as well as, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. you know, and the GOAT. And it's one of those things where I was like, wow, this is amazing. Because when I was growing up, I would have definitely just said, this is a major dream of mine.
Yeah.
To be able to train, you know, Arnold,
yeah.
you know, at least just helping him through the sets and reps. I was really there helping Phil, but Arnold was there and being yes. a part of that, however you want to call it.
Yeah,
it was just,
yeah, yeah.
just very honored.
Yeah.
And it was surreal. And he's like, I go, hey, how's this equipment? How's it feel? And he's like, the pump is fantastic. You know, and I'm like, oh, this is yeah. just like so cool.
Yeah,
so yeah. yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I don't get starstruck.
No, you know? Don't. I mean, you've been around a lot of people,
yes.
but I mean, he's an icon in bodybuilding, yes. out of bodybuilding, yes. everything he's achieved. So it's hard. And you know, his presence seems, I've never been in his presence, but he seems like very intimidating and, you know, commands like,
Attention
and respect.
He does. Yeah,
for
he does.
Sure.
So he's got an aura about him.
Yeah, he seems like it.
Yeah, yeah. So whether it's you know, on stage or whether it was in the gym, he does. He has very commanding presence.
Oh yeah.
And so it was very, very cool.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, and I know he's gotten a bit older, mm-hmm. but he's still intense and he's still yeah. very competitive, even
yes.
with Phil.
Yeah.
He was like, I might be back. You know, I was like, to try to beat Phil to get to eight, you know, and go tie Ronnie and Lee Haney.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because I was just like, wow, this is just cool. We're shooting the shit in between sets with Arnold. So yeah. So like I said, it was very cool. And a ton of people started to gather around and it was crazy. It went next level when the expo went out. And one of the other things I wanted to just touch on was just the crowd. Mm-hmm. Right. The crowd in the UK. Mm. OK, all the support, a lot of Samson fans because he's from the UK.
Yes.
But also there was a lot of Persian fans
yes.
in there. And all those things being said, the Persian community that came across and, you know, he had a lot of non-Persian fans, too,
yeah.
that stormed the stage. Right. They came up to the front of the stage and all of that. It was and I did the live.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think there was like almost 30,000 people on my live when I did that. And just seeing everybody just being so excited and so happy, it's just really good. And you know what sucks is that when Derek wins or when Phil won, even with the seven, you know, or even Jay, I just wish more of the U.S. fans were that intense.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because and I was talking to Phil about it the other night, and it was one of those things where I'm like, you know, what do you think that is? And he's like, the U.S. is spoiled. They have so many champions,
yeah.
right? But when...
It doesn't faze them as much. But,
exactly.
Yeah, but like a country like Iran...
Which is smaller and more just...
Yeah.
It's just... There's just so much less in terms of champions and
absolutely.
All of those things.
Or even the Brazilian fans. They're so passionate and into it.
Yes.
You know, Dino, when he gets on the
yes.
stage, it's like
yeah.
crazy, you know? So, yeah, it's just... It's different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, but even the UK fans, when they play soccer, they start beating the shit out of
yeah.
each other.
They're so when it
before
comes to
or after
soccer,
games.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys do them before or after games. Comment below. I don't know if it's usually
during
the games or if it's before and after.
Yeah.
But I've watched those
yeah.
those television and those YouTubes where the people are just beating the crap out of each
yep.
other for their team, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Chelsea versus Manchester or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
and these guys are just going nuts. And I just think that the U.S. fans are just subdued. And it's just like, man, get into it a little bit, get,
yeah.
you know, have some passion. But it's great seeing those ones that are passionate about it, how passionate they were.
Yes.
But the UK fans were super loud and they were super into Samson. They were like really bumping them up. But you don't get that craziness in the U.S. as much.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that because
yeah.
just these guys feed off of that energy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Hottie was like bending down and taking selfies with everybody
yes.
and doing videos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super cool to see because they're there for... these guys, you
yeah.
know, they actually, what they do is for the fans. Obviously they do it for themselves too. And you know, money and all that stuff, but
right.
it's the energy of the fans that really wants, you know, like makes you want to continue and
exactly.
be at your best, you know? So yeah, it's really cool to see. Even when we went to Dubai, I felt like the fans, it wasn't a show, but it was an expo,
right.
but the fans there are just so much more into it. And so like, it's just different.
They're passionate about it.
Much more passionate. And yeah, they're just like, they know your whole family. They know that, I mean, they're just live and breathe it, you know? So it's really cool. And as a, you know, person who competes, that's nice to also feel loved and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when Jay came back in 2009 or when Phil won his seventh one or any of those, it would be great to see people come to the airport and try to meet you or greet you or do something like that. You know, any of those great accomplishments, even if it's your first one and you're winning, you just want to feel that extra love and that extra passion. So again, like you said, I think the top two fans that are out there are the Brazilians and the Persian fans that are into it.
But they're also very passionate people. very passionate cultures. So it's a little different. Yeah.
They are. And so again, it's going to be amazing Olympia because you got Derek, who's hungry as hell. Mm-hmm. You got Hadi just, you know, coming back from, you know, his best ever. Mm-hmm. And when people ask me, do they think that was Hadi's best ever? Absolutely. Ohio.
Yeah.
And I think you have a bunch of other people like Nick Walkers and everybody else that's getting ready to compete. You got Nick Zilla, who we'd love to see what's going to happen with him. You have just a ton of people. Labrada, who looks great and who, you know, I don't know what show he's doing next, but I know he's coming up and getting ready for a show. So all of these guys. And so it's going to be one hell of an Olympia.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And then people were asking me, was Mr. Olympia going to raise the prize money? I don't know. That's going to be up to Dan Solomon, Jake Wood. We'll see what happens with that. I've heard, you know, both ways of what could happen, but obviously they got to look at their budget. They got to look at what they're doing. There's more classes in the Mr. Olympia competition.
And so there's more athletes in general,
yeah.
You know, because it's qualification based versus invite only. So
that's right. Yeah. And so there's many, many more athletes that they got to pay for. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an option, and I don't know how serious this is, but there was talk about possibly only paying for maybe like the top 10 in each class instead of, because sometimes I remember when C-Bum and I worked for the first year together 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I think there was like 58 or 59 classic physique guys. So you're paying for all their hotels.
That's a lot.
All of the, think of all the additional expenses versus only having 10 in class.
Right.
Now you have another 40 that you're paying for all of that money that the Olympia has to pay for.
Right.
Now, is there a possibility that there is a thought process of, hey, look, can we possibly trim that back where we're only going to pay for that? Again, that's the, under consideration to what they decide that they want to do. But I remember, you know, some people were talking about that and saying, hey, what if they turned around and said only the top 10 should have the reimbursement or for flights, or they take care of their flights or their hotels, but anybody outside the top 10, whether it's a point system or whether it's, you know, a ranking system from the prior Olympia or whatever that is, gets paid for, but then everybody else has to kind of pay their own way until they move up into that. I don't know what everybody thinks about that. I would love to hear your feedback that you're listening to this. Go onto the YouTube page. If you're watching the YouTube, go in the comments. Tell me what you guys think. Should that be something that should be considered? The last, you know, just the top 10 in each class gets their trip, their flights, and their hotels and all of those things paid for. Or should they just keep it the same way? I don't know. Love to hear what you guys think about that. But there was some of that stuff being mentioned in the last couple of years because the expenses are so high when you have all the additional classes and you have so many more people.
Yeah.
Because the Arnold, again, is invite only.
Yeah.
And then the Olympia is everybody who's qualified for it.
Yep.
You know, from last I checked, Olympia was paying still everybody that qualified.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money, guys.
It could free up a lot of money for prize money,
you know,
if they didn't do that for everybody.
Right. Yeah. So I would love to hear everybody's opinion on that, just to hear it, because there was that being tossed around the last couple of years. People were talking about it to try to increase the prize money across the board for everybody. But it would cost people that were out of the, let's say, top 10 or whatever that number is, however many people that they would, you know, take care of, saying, hey, you have to take care of your own hotels or your own flights.
I mean, it's amazing that they do that. That's
awesome. It is, because think about how much more expenses they have.
Oh, yeah.
They have so many classes, and they have, like, I don't remember, 10 times the competitors maybe or more.
Yes.
Because, like I said, just the classic physique alone was 60 people, 59 people in that class.
It's huge.
Versus 10. And you think of every other class. Plus, there's so many more classes in the Olympia that aren't at the Arnold. So you got to look at both ways.
Right.
Right. So those are all things that are going on. There was you know, the additional stuff that Tyler had already talked about when it came to trying to, they got some corporate sponsors that they've been putting some money into. Mm-hmm. The open class, and I believe there was another one that was just announced. I'm going to get more information for our next episode that for, I can't remember, I think it was for, might have been for wellness, that yes. there was a new sponsor for that to increase it. That's it was either cool. Bikini or wellness, but I'll get the details on that because, like I said, I just got in last night from the UK guys. And also, I want to say, again, it's the first day of spring today.
Yes.
And with the first day of spring, it's Persian New Year. We say Happy Nowruz and or Eid Mubarak. And it's just it's a 3,500 year tradition, this thing, this circumstance. This is, goes way, way back before Christianity, before Islam, before all of these religions. And it was because of growth, the new growth. And that's why you
have like a rebirth.
The rebirth.
Spring is like a rebirth. Everything blossoms, you know, like, so we celebrate, that's our new year.
Yes.
So we're celebrating a rebirth.
Yes. So that's what it signifies. So if you saw on my social media, on my stories, we have that green grass growing, that
which I grew that myself out of lentils.
Yes. So out of lentils, they sprout and it shows the rebirth of it. So if you haven't had a chance to reset, because you know, a lot of people like to reset their new year with the calendar year. Now is a good time to reset with the spring.
Yes.
And again, fresh, right coming off of the winter where a lot of the leaves and all the plants
die.
You're
supposed to
do regrow.
Spring cleaning,
right.
You know, and that's actually part of Persian New Year is you're supposed to clean the whole house. You're supposed to mend relationships that maybe went awry in the past, you know, so reach out to family, friends that you don't talk to. So that's what it really symbolizes, Persian New Year is like new beginnings, you know, so it's really cool. I love that about our culture.
Yeah.
I do want to say, because I think maybe you forgot, is Jacqueline, who won
thank you for
Arnold,
reminding
UK.
Me. Again, my mind's a little bit still screwed up.
She's amazing.
Jacqueline Baker.
Yeah.
You absolutely crushed it. She's our Evision athlete that's in fitness. She won the Arnold Classic. What I want to really do is get her out here on the podcast.
Yeah,
so cool. Again, to be able to highlight her on her own episode.
Yeah.
But yes, 100%. She ended up placing, I believe, second in Ohio, but she won the one this a couple of days ago in the UK. We saw each other backstage, gave her a big hug. I'm so proud of you, Jacqueline. You crushed it. Definitely want to give you your own episode because you deserve it. Really want to highlight the women more because, again, I know people go, hey, well, you know, women, prize money, men's prize. I want to talk about this more. I think this is a really good subject because
Absolutely. We
want to bring that in. And we, we're really, you know, thankful and happy to have her aboard the Evision Elite team. And just, she crushed it. She looked amazing and her routine was awesome.
Honestly, I think that's like the hardest class, like the hardest
division. Oh, you mean gymnastics while you're dried out and you're trying to do backflips and somersaults and
it's
a million
crazy.
Different things? Yeah.
I mean, I have so much respect. I don't have a gymnastics background or cheerleading or anything that these girls do, but what they're able to do and be depleted and low calorie and no water, like it's crazy. And she had a phenomenal routine both times. The Ohio, you know, like was the first time I saw was the Flashdance, and that's my favorite movie. So I just loved her routine. She did amazing. So congrats to her.
Yes. And I think she didn't do the Flashdance on this
one.
No,
she didn't.
She did a different one, but I love the Flashdance one.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I don't think Tyler, somebody told me that Tyler had never seen Flashdance.
Oh yeah. Cause he's so young.
I mean, right. We're the ones that are like reminiscent and everything else.
If you guys don't know what Flashdance is, it's a movies in the '80s, right?
Yeah.
She was, Jessica Biel. And
she was trying to be it's not Jessica Biel.
Or what's her name?
I don't remember.
It's Jennifer Biel.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Something.
And don't quote me on it.
But whoever it is. And she pours the water on herself and everybody, you know, it's like
iconic.
Very
honestly.
Iconic. Yeah. Very iconic. But, and then so she switched it up to try to give it some freshness with that. So she did. And obviously it worked.
A newer movie that he knows.
I was like, the next one's going to be like Top Gun, but not the first one, Maverick. But all kidding aside, man, Jacqueline, you absolutely crushed it. So proud of you. Can't wait to come out here, have you come out, train, get you on the podcast. We can talk about it. I don't know. Do you want to be a part of that one?
Sure.
Yeah. I think that'd be good. You have good questions. And again, guys, thank you so much for the support. Follow Miss Nas on her IG. She's putting up a ton of good content. And I just want to say thank you guys all for your support. Everybody around the world, just the fans of bodybuilding, we love you guys so much. And I'm going to continue to keep pushing it as long as you guys like it. So just make sure you share, you like, you subscribe, because it means so much to me and making sure that I know that I'm giving back to you guys and you actually appreciate what I'm putting out there, because I do it all for you. So again, Hani Rambod, Farinaz, that's the truth.